Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Leslie. Am I still muted? Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Hey, you're there.
Yeah, so I'm having Wi-Fi issues. Okay, welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lawrence Strength, founder and CEO of Legacy Programs Education Reentry, and we have a special guest today, returning, Jennifer Vanetta. She runs COVID-19 Terminal Island, and we are going to speak on injustices in the system, parole, and just as a community as a whole, and what we can do for proper, successful, and permanent reentry of our loved ones. And I believe today we're going to be talking about visiting, right?
Yeah, visiting the facility that our loved ones are in.
Okay. And just so everybody knows that we're based out in California, but if you want to let us know your state regulations and your state experiences, please tune in and if you want to leave a comment or ask a question, feel free to ask. Go ahead, Jennifer. It's all you.
Okay, so I've been visiting the prisons for a very long time, and it's a very stressful event from beginning to end. One is because half the time you have to travel to see your loved ones. They never have your loved ones very close to home. Here in California, I think maybe in San Diego, the closest facility would probably be 45 minutes south, and that would be Donovan. But anyways, it's a whole mental stress, okay? You got to get your kids ready. You got to get a rental car, or you got to find out who you're riding with, and you got to make sure that there's a hotel there. And then there's this dress code. You've got this dress code, and please, please listen to me. They are annoying as hell. Whenever you're going out to visit a loved one, always look at the dress code attire. Never, never, never wear blue. You're not supposed to wear red. We know we're not supposed to wear gang colors. We know we're not supposed to wear anything that matches the inmates, correct, when we go in. In a state facility, that means you would not be wearing blue. You would not be wearing a plain white shirt or even a gray plain white shirt. In the federal facilities, it would be khaki color or white. You cannot wear or a plain gray shirt. And mind you, in the state, you cannot wear jeans. You're not supposed to wear jeans. So please, 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 before you go, make sure you check the visiting attire. That is what you have to go by, and that is the rule. And you have to know the law. You have to know your rules when you go. So yesterday I drove from Carlsbad to San Pedro to see my loved one. They're having a retaliation on him. There's actually retaliation on both of us because I don't know if you were listening last week, but last week we discussed retaliation. Well, this facility had a huge retaliation on me because I won my case against the Bureau of Prisons and the warden, the director of Bureau of Prisons and the warden. I won with the ACLU of Southern California. So whenever I go to visit my loved one, they always try to throw a wrench in it. So when you go to visiting, you know, okay, I've worn this before, I can wear this. I've worn this before, I can wear this. You check your bra, okay, cool, there's no metal, no wire bras, you can't do it, don't even try, stick with the sports bras. So I check myself, you know, as you do, because usually I don't take extra clothes because in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, they don't have a house out there like the state. The state, if you have the wrong clothes, the state, they have a hut or something out there where you can go change into some clothes that are okay for the system. Mind you, they're clothes that have been worn by every other person that didn't have the right attire on. And then the feds, they don't have it. The feds, you basically got to go to the store and you got to buy an outfit. And it's unfortunate when you have a loved one that's incarcerated because you have a whole different wardrobe just to go see your loved one. So yesterday I decided to get my visit. They're only an hour and they're non-contact because of the COVID. But because we're having legal issues with our attorney that we hired, as we spoke last week, we wanted to meet in person because 15 minutes of a recorded conversation is not enough to get out what you have to say. So we figure an hour is good. So I drive an hour and a half to San Pedro, checked, double-checked, rechecked, and checked again, made sure I had everything correct. No wire bra, nothing see-through, nothing revealing, the chest isn't showing, no cleavage. You know, you got to do this check like 50 million times before you get there because your anxiety is like high anyways because you don't know which CO is going to be working in there, if the CO is in a good mood or a bad mood, because that'll determine how if you get in the visit. Because they pick and choose who can wear what when. So I get to the prison, and when I get there, I fill out my paperwork and I give her my ID like always. So same. HISSAM at Terminal Island tells me, do you have other clothes? I said, excuse. She said, did you bring something else with you? I said, like what? What are you talking about? Did you bring some other pants? I said, well, why would I bring other pants? Well, you can't wear white. I said, excuse me? I've worn these pants before. She says, no, you can't wear white. I said, well, I need to speak to a supervisor. She says, okay. So I go outside and I pull up the website. I ask her, where does it say that I can't wear white pants? So I go outside, I pull up the website, and I'm looking through, and it does not say anything about white pants. If this is the dress code on their website. This is what they're telling everybody the dress code is. All visitors who wish to enter the institution must dress appropriately. Attire considered unacceptable is listed below. A, garment which reveal portion of upper torso, cleavage, or undergarments, halter top, or necklace. Okay, that wasn't the case. B, sleeveless garments like spaghetti straps and tank tops. That wasn't the issue. C, athletic garments, tights, sweatpants, jogging suits, shorts, jerseys, etc. Spandex or form-fitting leggings, joggings, yoga pants or tights. No shorts, no shirt or dresses above the knee. No khaki, tan, or light brown colored shirt or pants or other garments that resemble inmates' attire. Camouflage, fatigues, and or military design garments. So let's stop there. I had white pants on. It says khaki, tan, or light brown colored shirt or pants or other garments that resemble inmates' attire. Okay, so me and her are arguing. She tells me, I said, well, there's somebody coming out because I've already tried to show her my phone. I said, look, I pulled it up. You can look. So I try to pull it up on my phone, and I say, look, it doesn't say, and she says, well, I'm going to look it up. I said, okay, fine. I said, well, in your visiting waiting room, you have the dress attire up there, and it doesn't say anything about white pants either, just it says it can't be see-through or form-fitting. So she says, I'll look it up. I said, well, I'm telling you. She says, I said, I'll look it up. I said, well, let me help you out. It's on 17 and 18. Pages 17 and 18. But I go back to waiting. She says, ma'am, can you come here? She calls me back, and on the all visitors who wish to enter the institute dress appropriately, she goes to G, and she highlights other garments that resemble inmates' attire. Mind you, I had a pink T-shirt on that had a logo on the front. I had a black sweater on. I had my white jeans on, and I had some Vans. Okay? There is nothing in G that says white. However, common sense, we know that the inmates wear white, brown, tan, and khaki. It did not mention white. So, my visit got canceled. I drive an hour and a half to find out that I'm not going to get to go in there because this CO is having a bad day and has decided that she finally wants to follow the protocol and sends me home. However, it never states anything about white pants. Now, Sparky, I don't know. Are you there, Sparky? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I know we're having technical difficulties, but Sparky, I know you've been in there. Do you guys wear white?
White sweats. The only attire that we're allowed to buy is white sweats, gray sweats, pretty much just white, gray, and blue. But we are not allowed jeans inside that facility, and they don't have any opportunity. We have no opportunity to purchase anything jean-wise.
Okay, so, but do you wear these, when you go to visiting, you wear a blue jumpsuit that says CDCR, correct?
Yes.
And then when you're in the feds, you wear a khaki jumpsuit, khaki clothes. So where does the white pants come in violation? How do my white pants come in violation of their attire? I don't know.
It doesn't. Well, because they say that you can't have leggings or sweat, but there's nothing in there about white jeans.
Jeans.
And that's
white.
That's the problem. Like, we don't have, there's no accessibility to white jeans in there. And as soon as you're seen wearing jeans, back in the day, 20 years ago, we were able to purchase jeans, but nothing white.
Okay. So that was the issue yesterday. So now that's something else that we have to, because now I guess Terminal Island has decided that they want to do their job. So people, if you go and visit your loved ones, have your kids dressed, have everything ready, bring an extra pair of clothes. Always, always, always check to see what the attire is because you never know, unfortunately, what mood the CO in visiting is in. Sometimes you'll have the same COs every week. Sometimes you don't get the same COs every week. I can't see any questions, but if there's anybody on the radio show, I'm sure Sparky can unmute you. And if you have any questions regarding visiting in California, or if you have any questions regarding how they are rude to you, they have a certain standard to go by when they are in the visiting room. In the visiting room, they are not COs. They are public customer service representatives. And they need to treat us like such. Us as visitors feel intimidated. We get embarrassed. They strip you of your dignity. They make you feel like you yourself are an enemy when you go to visit your loved ones. And it's very embarrassing and stressful. So my suggestion, whenever going out, hello, I hear somebody. Whenever going up anywhere to visit, always make sure the rules and regulations, and don't be afraid to be a whistleblower. See, a lot of people go home frustrated and upset that they were turned away or this happened or that happened. But if you know your rights and you're not afraid of retaliation and your loved one's not afraid of retaliation, there are things we, the people, can do to make sure that these things run better. You know, it's traumatizing taking our kids in there as it is. We're taking our children into these big old gated facilities. They're hearing doors lock behind them when they go through the visiting. That's traumatizing enough. Then when they see their moms or their grandmas or their uncles or whatever get pulled up to the desk and degraded and talked to, that's terrible. That's terrible. So we need to find out ways to make them do their job with a little bit of customer service, learn it a little bit better, and we need to know our rights and not be afraid to talk. Our inmates, our loved ones in there, they can write up the officers as well, can't they, Spark?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm here.
Yeah.
So it is possible you could write a, you could 602 it, but I believe we were talking about the process of what my wife went through when she was a prison wife. I want to explain, like, the procedure of, like, how a letter should be written, who should be written to, which I think that would be very insightful as well.
Yeah, so if you're on the outside and you're retaliating, you would want to write the prison. You get an email. You get the email addresses. They should all be online of who you want to contact. You want to contact the warden. You want to contact the Department of Corrections. You want to contact the assistant warden. And you want to contact, you can even contact Ombudsman. Now, is what you're going to do when you contact these people, anybody doing an email, you do the initial email to the prison public affairs. There's always a public affairs. So look on the website for that prison, see if ways to contact us. And then when they show you an email, you get the email, you email them, and you CC the warden and the Department of Corrections and the assistant warden and the ombudsman. You CC them, so you carbon copy them. Your original email is going to go to the prison public offense or prison public affairs. I'm sorry. Then in your subject in your email is going to be the name of that facility, and they have to have their name badges on them. So if you have a problem with staff during visiting, always get their name. And if they don't have a badge, you can add that in your email. But if they don't have a badge, you can ask them for their name, and they have to give it to you. If they don't give it to you, you can put that in your email and say that they refused. Okay? So you're going to put the name of your facility in your subject. Okay? You're going to let them know what happened. You're going to let them know you're going to do your research. So you're going to let them know what happened during visiting, who you spoke to during visiting, who gave you a problem, how it made you feel. How it made you feel, and that you will take, if there is any retaliation on your loved one, that you will take legal action, and that you want action taken against this officer. So if you were treated wrong or unprofessionally or embarrassed, you want to put that in there. If you copy ombudsman on this, eventually you will get a call. They are slammed. But eventually you will get a call. And some of you might be saying, who is ombudsman? Ombudsman is an organization that is a nonprofit organization that helps people. They're like advocates. They help you guys. Let me see. If you have, they're just people that help you and advocate for you, like if you're in a facility. So if you need help, you would call the ombudsman. You would email them, ombudsman. They're amazing. They will help you. They help you if you're working in an office and you're being treated unfairly. You can call ombudsman, and it's totally confidential. You don't ever have to worry about your name coming up. They're a public advocate and official who is usually appointed by the government or by parliament, but with a significant degree of independence. So, there's definitely ombudsman. They'll get back to you. You let them know what's going on. They'll follow up with the facility. So, and mind you, there's always a chain of command whenever you're telling on somebody or whistleblowing, I guess, is what. They call it whistleblowing. So don't be afraid to be a whistleblower. And if you have more people, like I used to go, when I would go to the visiting, I would be mad about certain things, and I would find out who would be willing to you know, write in with it. Not until COVID came out where the family's willing to write an email and everything. So, and you never go unheard. You will, if you email them, the public affairs for this, the prisons that are giving you the problem, they do get back to you. It might not be in a very fast time, maybe give it about a week or so, but they do get back to you. And it's just for the record. It's not, you know, it's just for the record. We want to make these people do their job. Just like if you're out there working and you're an accountant, well, your people want to make sure that you do your job right, you know. So the COs in these places, they make their own rules. They have rules in black and white, but they change it to accommodate their way of thinking. And we need it to be what it is in black and white. So that would be how you would email or do a complaint on an individual at a place, and then you would have your loved one do a 605. And mind you, yes, you guys, next time you go to visiting, you're going to have retaliation. Next time you go to visiting, you're going to have them looking at you. Next time you go to visiting, you got to be on your P's and Q's, because you will be walking on eggshells. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That is just the way the system is. So I think, and then, like I said, make sure that you totally check online, like what the attire is, make sure that you bring that attire, sometimes bring extra clothes. Like, I used to be able to wear jackets into the facilities, because you can wear jackets as long as it's not a hoodie. And when I went to Terminal Island, you cannot wear a jacket at all. I had to get a doctor's note because I need to keep my upper facility warm. My upper extremities warm, so I had to get a doctor's note to wear a jacket and gloves. So there is ways to play their games. I know it's frustrating, and I know it's hard, but it will get easier, guys. I promise you, it will definitely get easier. Just as long as we don't give up, you know. There was a couple of other things. I don't know if anybody else has any questions. Does anybody have any questions about visiting? Sparky, do you see any questions?
No, not at hand. You did say something about the doctor's note. Now, what was the – now, when you get doctor's note, is it just that's it and you're allowed, or do they question the doctor's note as well?
Well, they really don't question the doctor's note, but you got to make sure it's got the doctor's letterhead on it. And as long as the doctor states your diagnosis, but this patient has blah, 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 due to this illness, they have to be warm, whatever the case is. But they cannot go against the doctor's note. They can't. So if you have to wear, if you have to take crutches in there, if you have to take a asthma pump in there to do that, if you have to take a medication at a certain time during visit, and you have to get pulled away, as long as you have a doctor's note, you can take it with you. And they usually, sometimes I know in CDCR they took a copy of it and put it in the file, but at Terminal Island, which is a federal, they just, when I turned in my paper to get the visit, I turned my doctor's note in with it, and at the end of the visit, they gave me back my ID and my note. So I just had to make sure that I brought my note every time. Was there any other questions on that, on that note?
Okay.
Yeah.
I have so many tech issues with this thing. It's ridiculous. So the doctor's notes, you just sit there and go in. Now, when you went in with your doctor's notes, did you have any issues? Because I know federal and state are a little different.
I didn't have any issues with the initial intake. When I got back into the visiting room, the COs were looking at me and they were coming over to me telling me, you know, you're not supposed to have your gloves here. And I just had to break out my letter. And then I finally had to just talk to the supervisor. She just had to let them know what it was, like leave her alone, you know, because if it wasn't the supervisor that was letting us all in, she knew my situation. So she knew I had to have gloves and she knew I had a letter. But then you, like I say, you get those cocky COs that want to go, you know, they just want to mess with somebody. They have nothing else to do and they want to puff their chest. So they, excuse me, ma'am, you know you're not supposed to be wearing gloves. And I'm like, okay, hold on, let me show you. And I have to show them that. And then they'll take the paper up to the port, up to where they all sit at. And then they all look at it, and they gawk at it, and then they look at you, and then they look at the paper, and then they look at you, and then they look at each other, and then they bring it back to you. But it's every visiting. They just want to make sure. So, yeah, just keep your letter on you.
Yeah, because I remember that I'm familiar with the situation, how it was, and the letters were always scrutinized, and there were always issues with it. That they sat there and, like, sometimes the COs would just play doctor. Like, oh, well, you don't have a problem, or why are you,
right.
You know, like questioning my loved one of why they had a note for whatever.
In that situation, if they do that, that's harassment, okay? That's harassment. CO's number and write in. And if they're embarrassing you, make sure you throw that in there. Make sure if you know anybody who's in that visiting room with you, that is a witness. They can say, yeah, they came and harassed them for that. We need to start speaking up. Because if we let those COs come over and bully us like that and play doctor like that, then it will continue. If we put a stop to it and we know our rights as visitors, then they have to follow protocol. All we want as the people is for them to follow the rules in black and that are put in black and white. Their rule books are put in black and white. We want you to go by that. If you're a mental health facility, then you need to have mental health doctors. If you're a medical facility, then you have to have the medications and the medical doctor attention that these people need. We are entrusting these facilities to take care of our loved ones. They are by law supposed to take care of our loved ones. It is their due diligence, if they are a medical or mental facility, it is their due diligence to take care of them medically and physically and mentally. It is their job. And that's as we, the people, we want them to do their job. That's it. No more, no less. We want to help empty out these prisons. If you look back and you in California, a large percent of the inmates are violators. And what I mean by violators, they're on probation. And when you get out of prison, you get this paper that says you can do this and you can't do that. You can do this and you can't do that. Well, if you violate one of those, guess what? They will prison to finish your sentence or for 6 months. Us as taxpayers need to stop that. Taxpayers need to say we're not doing it no more.
Because hey, Jennifer, I'm sorry. I think we have a question or comment. Let me tune in. 415.
Yeah. Jasmine, let's say Roe. You don't remember?
Hey,
no.
Hey, 415. Do you have a question or comment?
You don't
was
have
there a question or
no.
comment?
No. Oh.
Okay. Okay.
Are you with us so far?
Yeah, no, because I just got on the computer, so I was trying to see. Yeah, no, there's no question or comment.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jennifer. I'm sorry.
Cool. Okay, now I think I lost track. Okay, so that, so yeah, so these prisons, you know, we just need to come together, make them do their job, and make sure we need to figure out reentry programs as opposed to prison. And instead of putting somebody back in prison for having a dirty, and I'm saying dirty as meaning a drug test. So this person got out of prison, and one of his rules was to not do drugs. Well, that's easier said than done. If somebody has issues, a root issue, and drugs seems to soothe that, then we know they're going to use drugs because they want to numb whatever that feeling is. So instead of locking this individual up, which takes him out of society, which takes him away from the family, which takes the income away from the family, which teaches the kids that jail is all there is. So instead of locking this person up, why aren't we having homes that have counselors and stuff where these individuals, instead of locking them up, we can put them in these homes. They could still work. They could still see their kids on a regular basis. They themselves pay for their bed, not the taxpayers. They themselves have to pay weekly for their bed because they messed up. They are still being punished because they have curfew. They have to work. They have to have meetings. They have to find the root to their problem. It's not just, oh, let me just go to this place and I don't have to go to prison. No, 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 no. We're trying to keep you out of prison to keep you being a productive citizen, to keep you in your children's life, to keep your household with a good financial stability. But locking them up and incarcerating people that have violated, our prisons are full, and it makes no sense. These probation officers are out to get you just like the police are out to get you. Follow those rules. I found an amazing probation officer in Riverside, and I can't believe how much she wants to help her client. She's like, oh, if you have mental issues, I'll help you find a psychiatrist. I'll help you find a psychologist. I'll help you. I've never seen one like it, and it's amazing, and we need more like it. But we need to learn how to shut these prisons down. And to shut these prisons down, we need to start finding the root of people's problems. Drugs. Why do you use drugs? Well, because there's a root issue. There's a dialectical behavior. You grew up maybe around drugs. You might have been molested as a kid, and drugs numbs it, or alcohol. If we find these root issues instead of just locking people up in cages, we might be able to have a better society. And if we stop judging, we need to stop judging. We need to stop labeling people. They label us as black. They label us as white. They label us as female. They label us as male. They label us as transgender. They label us at everything we do. We need to stop the labels. And if we want to start saving taxpayers money, we need to figure out ways to keep these people that are getting violated incarcerated. Yes, there are people that need to be incarcerated, but not somebody who smoked a joint after work because it was a long, hard day at work. And he has to go in and tell he had a hard week. He got paid on Friday. He had a good week, good paycheck, wanted a party, had a barbecue on Saturday, smoked a little herb. Monday he's got a test, and guess what? The herb is in his system. That's a violation. That's 6 months or whatever it states on his stipulation. It's not fair. It's just not fair. So I think that's where the reentry comes from, Sparky. I mean, we need to really, really work on that. We need to work on having a voice for these people. We need to work on stop labeling, stop judging, stop labeling. We will break this system. The system's got to break eventually. I talked about the three-strike law, how
We're trying to get rid of the three-strike law. We're trying to raise the $14,000, as I said, to get it on the 2022 ballot so that we can get rid of the three-strike law altogether. I know there was a petition that was going out to legalize marijuana. And we're not talking about legalized marijuana on a recreational basis. Yes, there's a lot of people that smoke marijuana and all that stuff, but it does help certain people with certain issues. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. But again, I want to revisit this. If you want to help get rid of that three-strike law, you can write them directly at contact@repeal3strikes.org, and you can also donate. We need $14,000, like I said, to get it on the ballot of 1922 that would eliminate the three-strike law. So please, please, it's in Oakland, P.O. Box 31022, Oakland, California, 04, so that you can donate, even if you could donate a dollar. Just a dollar would be a blessing. Like I said, I know we're working on a lot of bills and acts to get done. I know it's this week is, or this month is Transgender Month. We love everybody. It's a very touchy subject about transgenders. And our radio show is about humanity. Our radio show isn't about labeling or doing anything like that. So we want to acknowledge that it is Transgender Month. And we love you guys. And we're sorry that you've been hated on and everything. That's not okay. We don't know the issues behind it. There's people that are trying to totally explain their characters that they don't need to. If you're transgender, we love you no matter what. Because the simple fact, transgender, male or female, you're a person. You are a person. So shout out to Lisa. Amazing, amazing woman, to 25 years incarceration. She did her last couple of years in the toughest prison in California, San Quentin. The most amazing woman you'll ever meet. She's transgender. And she struggles on a daily basis proving that she's just a person, you know, and they're just a person, sex offenders, they're just people, you know, transgender, lesbians, gays, they're human beings. And we need to start, we have our own beliefs and we know right from wrong, but that's not our right to push our beliefs on anybody else. If you don't believe that two men should be married, if you don't believe that two women should be married, that's none of your business. Your business is your belief. If that's what you believe, hallelujah, great. That's understandable. But don't push your beliefs on other people to make them feel uncomfortable. If a person is transgender, there's somebody trapped in their bodies and they're trying to come out. So just love them and nurture them. Don't see them for the outside. See them for the beauty that's inside. So if you know a transgender, if you know anybody who's transgender this month, this is their month, give them, tell them hello, tell them you love them, let them know that you support them. Anybody, you know, everybody needs love and support. In ex-incarcerated people, they get out and people hear, oh, you were incarcerated, you're a felon, but they don't know the story. And just like every book has a story. So we need more people to stop judging a book by the cover. We have a lot of amazing men and women that have been incarcerated that are just so amazing. And so, but we don't give them a chance because we're so quick to judge and label them. So, and this radio talk show, we're trying to get it together. It's going to be about life. and how life is. You know, life gives us its knocks. Nothing is perfect. I don't like to be considered as religious, but I do believe in God. I know God is real, and we will definitely be, if anybody needs a prayer, I'm more than happy to pray for anybody that is just in need of prayer. I don't need to know what's going on. You don't need to open up. This place is to vent, to talk, to get questions, to answer questions, resources, things that are bothering you about the system. Let's come together. Let's come together and have a voice across the country and nationwide. Let's see what they're doing in different countries. You know, maybe their way of incarcerating people is different than our way. Maybe their way is better than our way. Healthcare. You know, there's nothing that we are going to eliminate. We just ask that everybody respects everybody on here. And we could just have an amazing platform going. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to throw your questions out there. We will not say your name. We won't embarrass you. We will not allow people to talk bad to you. We want other people to interact. It would be great to have people interact. If anybody has a story that's just a burning desire that they need to let it get out, connect, hit me or Sparky up. I'm Jennifer Van Etta. I've got COVID-19 Terminal Island is my group on Facebook. You can DM me. Any questions, anything that you want us to address on Sundays, please feel free to bring it up. If you need prayer, let us know. But is what we ask, don't try to throw your beliefs on us, and we won't try to throw our beliefs on you, because our beliefs is we're all human and we all need to be treated as such. And I think that's our main objective here, is that we come together as people, as real human beings, not labeled as anything.
I think that's important, like with resources and stuff like that, because there's so many, as a pastor of the Family Rights Organization, and just dealing with the legacy program that I run. Somebody asked me today. They said, "What is your vision of legacy?" And mine was, you know, bringing additional information to the table, educating and bringing awareness, giving men and women the humanity back, that they are not numbers, but they're men and women, they're fathers, they're sons, they're mothers. You know, we wanted to make sure that we bring that communication. So a lot of times I deal with family members that they don't know what their loved ones are going through. They sit there and they struggle with the miscommunication because, one, they don't know the needs that must be met, and two, that the offender coming home, the returning citizen, doesn't understand how to communicate. I mean, how do you tell somebody I'm screwed up and I can't be around people sometimes? And, you know, they don't want to offend people. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to ask for help, because we're conditioned
labeled
in an environment where you don't ask for help and that's considered a weakness. And so our job is to go in the middle and just help out, because we've been there, done that. And like I've been out a year now, coming up in a week or so, that I can communicate to both sides now. And I can sit there and say, okay, I understand what you're going through. This is what you need. But it's so important that everybody works together. You know, there's times where, you know, transitional housing, somebody needs transitional housing. And though our transitional housing isn't up yet, I would have to outsource and go to like Homeboy Industry and ask them, hey, do you have a place for this guy? And share and give. It's not about legacy. It's not about Lawrence or Sparky. It's about the person that needs those resources. And by all of us coming together, we could get so much more done by working together rather than on our own egos and our pride. So, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, the additional information, when we all come together in one room, one voice, one direction, we're powerful.
Right.
I was,
there was a person that got off parole. And did you know that anyone that gets out of prison, that if they could survive, I think, 6 months, did you know they meet a 10% success rate? Only 10% of our loved ones coming home survived after 6 months. Isn't that crazy?
And that's because that first 6 months, I mean, if they make it through that 6 months, they're amazing anyways. But depending on the time that they've been incarcerated, we don't know what they've seen or what they've had to endure. And so there's a lot of mental health going on. They don't get taught, like, there's things in there that'll get them, help them get their medical and all that stuff. But just the pressure of life, you have to learn how to live with people again. You're not on a program no more. You're not getting woke up at a certain time. You're not hearing chains. You're not hearing doors slam. So it's a huge transition. And if you don't have an understanding, if you don't have people that understand that transition, it makes it even harder. And us as loved ones, I learned because a friend of mine got out from doing 9 years. And I feel so bad because I always assume that, well, you should know that. You turn on the phone, you get all the messages at the same time. You should know that. Yeah, we should know that. But he's been incarcerated. He don't know that. So many things that I do that I'm like, you should know that. But I have to remember this person's been incarcerated. They might not know. So I figured we talked and I found out that I was making him feel like bad. I was making him feel like a little kid, like, you don't know nothing, you know, because of how I was treating him. Like, you should know that. So I had to stop assuming that this person knew everything. I had to remember, wait a minute, they've been gone for 9 years. They've been stuck in time for 9 years because that's basically what it is. They're stuck in time. Once they get incarcerated, they're stuck in time. They're stuck.
They don't go
every year things change. They don't see all that. They're stuck in 1999. They're stuck in 2021.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because I still listen to 90s music that I grew up with. I still fix up my car like I'm 16 years old, where, like, there's things where my wife has to sit there and tell me, like, honey, you're not a 16-year-old kid. But, it's funny that she uses that number because that's how I feel a lot of times. You know, at work when I'm talking to people and I explain to them I'm going to be 40 years old in February, that they sit there and go, well, you don't act like you're 40, you know, and it's, you're exactly right. We're stuck in time. I love that concept. That's exactly right.
Right.
But
we don't realize it. You know what I mean? We're not stuck in time. We're still living day by day. We're living life.
Another perception of that, Jennifer, is that did you know that the loved ones, when a loved one comes home, like, for instance, when I came home and I saw my mother, that she treated me as if I was 14 years old when I left.
And she
couldn't get that. Yeah, and my brother treated me the same way. So, like, when I left, so it's crazy when you think about it how we're stuck in time when we do time. But then our loved ones hang on to this image and these experiences and these memories of us. So when we come home, they treat us like we're that age as well. I mean, I had to experience it to really understand it. And I've read books and psychology books and did stuff where I read this and I thought I understood it. But when I went through it, you know, I really had to explain to my family, like, hey, I'm not going back and I'm not 16 years old. And I mean, my mom was buying me stuff that for like a high school backpack. You know, she was getting me stuff for, like, for Christmas. I think she got me like a coffee pot and stuff like that, like I was going away to college. And so, like, as, you know, and I had to explain to her, like, hey, I'm not 18 years old, I'm almost 40 years old, so I you know, things are a little different. So it's just funny that you say that. I just wanted to chime in and speak on that.
It's reality, you know.
So, yeah, I feel sorry for you guys, you know, and I didn't, and me being out here, I didn't never look at that, you know, until I witnessed this person, and I felt so bad because I was like, oh, I'm probably making them feel like crap, you know. But we just have to keep all that in mind. And like I said, this talk show is not for judgment. This talk show is not for labeling. It's not pushing beliefs on anybody. It's just an open forum to vent, to talk, to get resources, to help others. That's the main thing. We're just trying to help each other just move along our daily lives.
Yeah, and we do have to be careful what we say to our loved ones coming home. My boss the other day, because I work in construction now, and we're working on a two-story house, and they dropped a beam upstairs, and it hit the ground, and I jumped. Like, I jumped at the – I'm very aware of my surroundings and the sounds, and when stuff falls, when they make these loud-ass noises, I jump, and they make fun of me. And I have to explain to them, I've been like, dude, you don't understand, or like – There's traumatization that happens with like squeaky shoes. When I hear squeaky shoes, like on a basketball court, to me that's fighting. You know, that's one of the first signs that something's popping off. Or like loud voices. When people yell, I'm not receptive. When people raise their voice at me, when people talk to me a certain way, my shoulders get drawn back, my feet start to get into a certain stance. And even though I'm aware of these physical signs that I'm being affected by this tone or this action, people aren't understanding of that. So when I jump and the guys at work clown me because of it and they laugh, to them it's funny. To me, my heart's beating 100 miles per hour and I'm freaking out.
And it triggered you.
And I'm processing it. And I'm trying to process. The problem is with us coming home is that we process things at a different rate of speed. It's almost like time stands still for us, where if something happens, I have to process it and ask myself the same question, like, am I tripping? Is it just me, or is this an issue? Like, for instance, one of my coworkers was sitting there, hey, bitches, and instantly I squared up like, hey, what are you talking about? Oh, no, I was just saying I didn't understand that. So there are things that we tell our loved ones, you know, we have to be very mindful, like, you know, not to make them feel stupid. Because if we make our loved ones feel stupid when they come out, how are we going to help them? How are we going to be able to say, come to me, mijo, or mija, if you have a question, if you need help with something? How am I supposed to be effective if my tone comes off as judgmental and they recluse back into their comfort zone? And then they don't ask for help, and then they rely on themselves to go out, and that's what creates the bad coping mechanisms. That's what creates the bad coping skills. And how we resource, like when I came out, I had a very understanding wife. I had a very understanding pastor in a church that knew that they had to be delicate with me for a little while. You know, they couldn't do things. It was just different. They understood that, and that's what helped me come along. But what if they didn't? You know, where I couldn't ask for help and say, hey, you know, I need a job. I need to pay my bills. I need this. Instead of, because if I was in a safe zone or comfort zone and I went out and I said, well, I can't ask for help. I can't ask for a job. I can't ask for money. So then I'm going to go make my money. And the best way I know how to make money is to sell drugs or something illegal. So, and that's why a lot of us come and go back to the prison. Because we can't ask for help. So when the loved ones are like, well, oh, you need a job? Okay, let's go. You know, it might be grunt work, but hey, it's a job. And you know, and so I say that to be delicate, not to condescending of our loved ones, but you got to remember that the people that are coming home are not men and women, they're children. Straight up, physically, they're grown-ass men, they're grown-ass women. But the thing is, they're children mentally and emotionally, because in there we regress. We sit there. It's called arrested development. We stop mentally, and that's why, you know, the 261, 260 SB, the bills that pass, hallmarks of a youth, because that we stop growing mentally and emotionally. And so, and then all of a sudden we're exposed to different elements such as violence, riots, fights, politics and stuff like that in the prison. So instead of learning how to express ourselves, we learn how to fight. Instead of learning how to communicate that these are my boundaries, we lash out violently. Instead of sitting there saying, hey, I'm scared, we lash out and hurt somebody else. And that's why a lot of the inmate population, that's what we take what we should be learning, we put it in a backseat, and we learn new survival skills to make it in an environment that most people, I mean, your biggest fear of going in prison is you don't want to be a victim. You know, so
right.
Instead of being a victim, there's no middle for us. It's all or nothing thinking. So instead of just saying, hey, I just want to make it and I want to be productive, I sit there and say, hey, I don't want to be a victim. So what do I become? I become a perpetrator. I become a bully. I become violent. I become standoffish. I close myself down. My empathetic gate closes where I cannot empathize with being a victim. So when I'm doing or talking to somebody, I can't relate that to how that person feels, because I've completely blocked that off to be like, if I want to be a big dog, if I don't be ran over, I got to be a big dog, which it's not necessarily like that. So it's a warped belief.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, you're totally right on. So I think we're coming to a close here, but yeah, so I don't know if any questions have popped up, if anything's come up, anybody has any issues that they want to discuss next week, any questions?
I think that would be a good idea that if anyone has any questions or comments, that we're going to post this on COVID-19 Terminal Island. We will be posting this on Legacy Programs as well as our Legacy Each One Teach One Reentry Support. And this will be on Facebook majority. So if anybody has any questions, Jennifer will be joining us next week. And pretty much I'm just trying to bring different perspective and a different more people in the loop. So if you have any questions, you could go on there and comment on this, and we will address these questions and comments next week as well. We'll take time to do that. And if you want to call in, you know, 657-383-1630, call in and next week give us your take. If you agree, if you disagree, if you just want to yell, if you want to scream, if you want to cuss us out, I mean, go for it. I mean, it is your time, and we want to make sure that nobody's alone, that when you're sitting there frustrated with visiting, tell us your story, tell us what's going on with it. And you know, one of the things is that when we don't feel alone, we learn how to ask for help. When we don't feel alone, we don't feel victimized. Because let me tell everybody here is that 1 in 6 family members are affected by mass incarceration. 1 in 12 are affected by a family member in the military. So if you really think about it, we're bigger than the military. And that's why we need to come together. But there's nothing to be ashamed of. Your loved ones inside, outside, you know, I'm very vocal about I did time in prison. I don't hide it. And the reason being is because I'm not going to let that shame dictate me getting help or me asking for help. And I damn sure won't let it, that shame not allow me to branch out and offer help for other people. And I think that's what we need to do.
I think we need to make it clear that we are not judgmental. And so I know there's a lot of SOs. And like transgenders and SOs and stuff like that, we're not judgmental. So if you are in those categories, feel free to reach out to Sparky or myself. There is no topic that we want anybody to feel ashamed to talk about. There is no topic. We want everybody to feel comfortable here. Like I said, we don't want any hating or bashing, but we have a lot of people with issues. We have a lot of people that have been molested and are trying to get over that. We've got people that have been raped. We've got people that have been tortured. We've got people that are sex offenders. We've got people that are in the gay community. We are non-judgmental. So
yeah.
If you need to vent and you need to come on here to find resources, no matter who or what you do or what you are,
we will help.
That's
what this is for. This is for networking. If you're in a certain town or spot that you want to help people, we're here to network. We're here to grow healthy relationships with each other. We're here to show that we are the world. And we can come together and we can make a difference. And so it's baby steps. It might not seem like nothing's happening behind the scenes. It might not be you might not feel like you're being heard, but we do hear you and we do hear those cries and we are here to help you wipe those tears away.
Well, and most importantly, this is the thing, that the people that are going to want to be there for you are going to be there. And the people that aren't are going to disappear. So if I lose a couple viewers or several viewers because, you know, everyone's voice should be heard, then so be it. But the thing is that we are not judgmental. I had one person ask me one time, and they said, you know, as part of the legacy programs, do you deal with sex offenders? You damn right I do. Because we don't focus on the crime that was committed. We focus on why the crime was committed. And in order to do that, we have to work with everybody and figure out why are people creating victims? And it's usually, you know, hurt people, but heal people. And when we look at why the crime was committed, we give the person back the humanity. We give them back their second chance and sometimes third and fourth chance. But you know what? There's nobody that's not savable. There's nobody that is better than anyone else. There's nobody that's going to sit here and take away from somebody's voice being heard. And so I encourage everybody and anybody, roar like a lion. Do not let that shame dictate where you go in life. Do not let that past hold your future hostage. And, you know, for me, when Leona gave me this, when I was a guest about a year ago, I can't tell you. I remember when I first started doing podcasts and radio shows, I used to cry afterwards. And that was my thing. I would just cry. And because it was so healing, it was so lifting. I finally had a voice. I finally was able to be heard and people were listening. Whether it was, I don't know how many people were listening, but you know what? It created legacy programs. I took all that pain and anger and turned it into helping other people and helping myself. And so when I get out here and I talk about my issues, there's something liberating about the fact that you get to sit there and share this stuff with, you know, it's on radio. There's nothing on video. There's no face to it. You guys don't know what I look like. You know, I don't know what you look like. You could be listening in your car. You could be listening in your living room, in your man cave, even with your family. But the thing is that this is a safe zone that we want more interaction with people. We want you to comment. And I don't care if you disagree with us. Speak it. You know, let me know. Teach me something, please. But we are here for the people. We are the people. And damn it, we are going to take our power back. And so I encourage everybody and anybody, please be part of the solution. Even if it feels like you're complaining and just ranting and raving. I mean, I'm sure there's people that listen to me and go, oh, here he goes again. But you know what? How do we expect anything to be done if we don't sit there and voice what's going on? All it is bringing awareness. And then we're going to 10% complain and gripe and bitch about it, and then, you know, 90%, we're going to come back to the table and go, how do we fix it? And so I encourage everybody to be part of the solution, not the problem, and, you know, let your voice be heard. Do not be ashamed. Do not be afraid. Be fearless and be brave and move forward in a positive direction. If not for yourself, do it for a loved one. Do it for a friend. As we say, each one teach one, you know, get one, and go help out somebody that needs it. Go ahead, Jennifer. Yep. Sorry.
No, I'm done. I think on a positive note, everybody have a wonderful day. There's, you know, just keep in mind that we're here for you. We'll do the best that we can for you, and let's just make this stuff happen.
Yeah, and you got contact information, right?
Who?
Yeah, you do. Your email, your Gmail, or your group.
My group is COVID Dash 19 Terminal Island. It's going to ask you how you heard about it. Just say me, Jennifer. You heard about it from Jennifer. And it'll ask you if you have a loved one in Terminal Island. It doesn't matter if they're in Terminal Island or not, but if you have a loved one that is incarcerated, please say yes to that so that I know who and how I'm dealing with you. Because I do have a lot of people that contact me in my messenger like, oh, my God, what do I do? And so I'm doing a lot of mentoring and like, calming people down and praying for them in my inbox. So, yeah, COVID-19 Terminal Island is my Facebook. You can find me on Twitter is T, capital T, dot capital I, advocate, which is T-I advocate. I'm on Twitter, but I probably do more on my Facebook than Twitter because I'm not really technical savvy. So, I swear, I hate technology with a passion. It's going to be. So anyways, everybody have a blessed day. Stay safe. Be with your loved ones. Enjoy your day. And we will see you same time, same place next week, November, 14th, 12:30, same time, same place.
Hey, thanks, Jennifer. You're always a hoot. I appreciate you. Thank you for your insight, your education, and just bringing awareness. And especially thank you for your voice.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye. So I just want to thank everybody for listening in, tuning in. You know, for the advocates that are out there doing what you're doing, thank you so much for your service. I know it goes unheard of. But, you know, if you feel that you want to sit here and tell people what you're doing, you know, let your business, your organization be known. Please feel free to call in and tell us what you're doing. Tell us what you want to do. You know, and if you're just starting out and you need help, call in, ask, you know, see what we can do as far as helping out and giving you some resources. Because if we can't do it, somebody else can. So I encourage everybody to look up legacyprograms.net if you have a loved one. Even if you're not so I'm a CBT expert, and even if your loved one is not incarcerated and you just want some communication, feel free to drop a line at lawrencedrenk@gmail.com. That's lawrencedrenk@gmail.com. You can also find me in my group, Legacy Programs, on Facebook, as well as Our Legacy Each One Teach One, which is primarily ran by Matthew and Tamara, and they do an excellent job. We have great admins on that group and most of all of our groups. There's so many out there. We Are Their Voices. There's that one. And, you know, we're still looking for a pro bono lawyer to take up prison abuse cases. So you can reach at New Vision Organization based out of Massachusetts with Leona runs that, and she does an amazing job. And huge shout out to Leona. I have not talked to her for I think a week or so. And so keep her in your prayers, keep her son in your prayers. You know, the thing is we're not alone. You know, there's many people that are experiencing this stuff. And we need answers. So why not get the answers from those that have treasured a path before us and that are doing what they can to change the environment? And like I say, my vision with Legacy Programs is that I'm not changing laws. That's not my department. My department is make sure that everyone gets out and stays out. And by giving them the resources and the tools necessary for a successful and permanent reentry. And that's all my goal is. I offer mentors, I offer counseling, whatever you need. You know that it's very important that we're there for each other and that we're able to assist. And that's all I am is I assist. I am the guy that passes you the ball to make the basket. And it's not a high scoring game, but you know what? I get plenty of assists. So I just want to thank everybody again for tuning in. Thank you, Jennifer, for your service and just being that voice for what's needed out here and to sit there and be brave enough to speak up. If your loved one's being retaliated against, reach out to one of the groups. We can help you with the process to file the paperwork so there's no more retaliation. My wife is a huge advocate for this. You know, she was the one that docked 3 COs pay due to misconduct. And so if we don't have the answers, we'll figure something out. So also check us out on legacyprograms.net. We had a brother that died in the system behind the walls that is, you know, he was beaten. There's bruises, and they're still saying they don't know what happened. So check us out on legacyprograms.net. You could go to About Us, and then his name is Brandon Lewis. We set up a memorial for him with some pictures and also a donation button for his family. All proceeds will go to his family. So, and that's all we can do, you know, just help there and be there for one another and to leave people, places, things better than we found them. So I really do appreciate this, all the viewers. I appreciate Leona. I appreciate the opportunity to be a voice and to be able to share with people my experiences and have other people share their experiences with me. And that's the only way we can get this done is by working together and figuring this stuff out. So y'all stay blessed. Enjoy the family. Enjoy the time. And for my brothers and sisters out there behind the wall, I love you guys. And until we all come home, I will not rest. This is something that has to be done. So I won't give up on you, I promise. And like I said, for the advocates doing what you're doing, thank you so much. Y'all are amazing. And look forward to hearing from you guys next week. Drop a comment on the Facebook groups about the show. I will post them right now. And next week we will address these, whatever comments or questions that you have. All right? Y'all stay blessed. Have a wonderful day. And don't forget to pay attention to the flowers in the garden. And don't pay so much attention to the weeds. Love y'all. Bye.